comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to The Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous blue ball in space, thank you for being here at The Kevin Smith Show. I know you could be doing a million other things, but you're here, and I appreciate it. And I promise you, it's talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It is the show where you matter. Well, we have some good news today in reference to The Kevin Smith Show and The Kevin Smith Show website. For the past month, that website has been getting slower and slower and slower to the point that it just got to where the performance on the website was so bad that it was really pretty unusable. And it's not just slow when you look at it, it's slow when we try to upload something. And I explained last night that this has been going on for about a month now, and it reached the point where we could not upload any large files. One file that we upload each night right after the show is the captured video, so that people in our members area who cannot watch the show live can watch the captured file of that show. But that normally takes, about 45 minutes to upload that. And with the site getting so slow, it's gotten to where it takes all night. And there have been a couple of nights where in the past month we couldn't even get it to upload. And so the hosting company has been looking at this, analyzing it, trying to figure out what's going on, because we didn't make any changes in what we're doing. It's exactly what we've been doing now for years. But they have figured out what was causing the problem. And so without getting into all the technical stuff about that, the good folks at Bluehost and myself have today worked out what I think is probably a pretty good solution, and everything should be working okay for you. We will know immediately after the show tonight when we try to upload all of those back K-pods that everybody's been waiting on. We're going to try to get them uploaded tonight right after the show. So we'll see how that goes. It has been really, really difficult to get anything, any large files uploaded. Now, explain last night on the show just the picture that is about tonight's show. On the website, on the front page of the website, there's a picture about tonight's show, right? There's a graphic. And we change that every day. Just uploading that graphic, which should take 20 seconds at the most, has been taking like 10, 15 minutes. So that's how bad it's gotten. And any large files, it just times out and wouldn't let us upload. So we're hopeful that that has been fixed. We think it has been resolved. And we will know after the show tonight, because what we will do is begin trying to upload all those K-pods. All right, we'll be back right after this, so don't go away.
Come on.
welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight we're going to have a two-host show. We've done this before. Joining me tonight is our associate host, Jerry Wills. Jerry, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Kevin, and hello, everyone.
You know, big things, folks, big, big things are happening all around the world. And our world is changing very fast. Our world is changing virtually by the nanosecond. These vast changes seem to be increasing in number, frequency, and intensity. And in my opinion, it's just my opinion, but it is my opinion, these are nothing less than the death spasms of the current world paradigm of fear and power. I think the paradigm is dying. You may disagree with that. Jerry may disagree with that. We'll find out in just a minute. But the point is, we're going to be kicking some of these big events around tonight and talking about whether or not these indicate that the paradigm is going through its death spasms, being replaced by something else. And although we may talk about Egypt tonight, and we may not, we will see, but I want to use that as an example. It is quite obvious to people observing all around the world that the Mubarak regime is in its death spasms. And when you look at what's happening in Egypt, I think you're looking at the whole world under a microscope. I think you're looking at a small example of really what's happening to the whole paradigm all around the world. Well, Jerry, we'll just kick it off by I'll just ask you to respond to that opinion. Maybe you agree with it, maybe you disagree. It's okay either way.
Well, I'll tell you something. I was sitting here listening, just nodding my head. I think you've nailed it. The way that things on Earth are going right now are almost, it seems to be demanding change. You know, we live, of course, in an age of incredible technological ability. We communicate around the world, and we are tonight. We're being listened to in countries on all corners of the planet. And information flowing like that, people have an idea of what it means to be free. They may not have an intellectual assessment of it that's accurate, but they certainly have something in their heart that says, this is what it might feel like. And when they face oppression and they're put into a place where they have to be subservient or else, eventually they're going to get tired of it and make a change. And I think you're right. You're looking at the death spasms of a paradigm. It's about to change. What it's going to change into is going to be, you know, something that's going to probably be quite interesting to observe. But I definitely agree with you, Kevin.
Well, Jerry, you've heard me say, both on the air and you've heard it face-to-face in person, you've heard me say, that powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be. And when enough of the population in any civilization has had enough of having the boot of their government, whatever their government is, regardless of the form of their government, but when they've had enough of having the boot of their government on their throat, at that point, they reach a point emotionally where it's kind of a breaking point, where they say, okay, I know what can happen, and I'm not afraid of it. I'm going to stand up and say no. And when enough of them stand up and say no, what they're saying is, we view this government as being irrelevant. And the day the majority of the people in any civilization view the government as irrelevant, that government is finished that day. It may have to go through some death spasms, but they're finished that day. And as I said, I think that's just what's happening there is just sort of an example of what's happening all around the world. One of the biggest, biggest, hugest, most magnificent secrets ever is the secrets, are the secrets about UFOs and the technology that goes with them. Associated very closely in the minds of certainly the American public, and I would think in the minds of most of the public around the world, associated very closely with this thing, this topic, this this phenomena, UFOs, is a place and a system called NORAD. North American, what is it? NORAD, North American something defense, anyway.
Yeah, I don't know, Kevin. I'm searching my brain.
Yeah, well, you know, I 20 minutes before the show, I knew it. Anyway, the deal is NORAD is headquartered in a mountain. That mountain is called Cheyenne Mountain. And today, the road to Cheyenne Mountain was closed because of an emergency. Now, I'm going to read the alert that was issued by Peterson Air Force Base. The road to Cheyenne Mountain Air Force Station is closed temporarily after a detection system tested positive on a vehicle at the gate near the installation visitor center. An explosives ordnance detection team and a military working dog bomb detection team from the 21st Space Wing at Peterson Air Force Base is en route to the scene to investigate. Our first responders are equipped and ready to handle these types of situations, said Colonel Rusty Wilson, 721st Mission Support Group Commander. We take installation protection seriously, and until we can verify the truck's contents, we are proceeding with caution. NORAD Road, the road into Cheyenne Mountain, AFS, that would be Air Force Station, is closed as a precautionary measure, part of the installation's protection procedure. Officials ask non-essential personnel to avoid the area to allow emergency responders access to the scene. Broadmoor Bluffs residents should use alternate routes into the area, avoiding NORAD Road. So what do you make of that?
Wow, well, it sounds like something's going down. You know, if they have a system that detected some explosive ordnance, that certainly is a head-scratcher.
It is, and you know, one of the things that caused me to want to read that on the air is there are people out there, Jerry, who think we don't have a space fleet that is quasi-secret. Folks, if you will look up U.S. Air Force Space Wings on the internet, you will see we have several of them. A wing in the Air Force is like a battalion in the Army. And so the 21st Space Wing has a bomb squad that's headed out there to investigate this. I think that's interesting because actually the other parts of the Air Force have bomb squads and bomb detection teams as well. You know, they're using the one from the Space Wing. Now, there may be some simple operational reason for that, but I think it's quite interesting that it's the Space Wing, 21st Space Wing, that does that. If Jerry, did you know if you go to the U.S. Army Let's see. Hang on. I've been hearing this background noise, and I finally located the problem. So, folks, the audio just got better. If you go to the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command website, and you drill down into it and search long enough and hard enough, you will find that the U.S. Army has, not, it's not just the Air Force, the U.S. Army has an astronaut corps. And you will find listed the name of the person who is in command of the astronaut corps. You will find some of the astronauts' names there. You will also find, or they, you used to be able to find, I don't know if they still have it there, an application. So if you are a U.S. Army pilot and you wanted to apply for the astronaut corps of the U.S. Army Space and Missile Defense Command, you could do so. It was on their website. These are not NASA astronauts. These are U.S. Army astronauts.
Oh. You know, something, Kevin, that comes to mind with this road closure, it kind of reminds me of Close Encounters of the Third Kind. You remember when the military closed down access to Devil's Tower and they had some bogus thing that something was going on there?
Yeah.
I'm sure that happens in real life. Not that much into being a conspiracy theorist, but just because they have a story like this doesn't mean the story is true. It's a good cover story.
Well, you're right. Now, the first story that came out from the local sheriff's office, and it said that it was a bad battery in this vehicle that set off the detection alarms. That's possible, maybe. But and it's also possible that that's just a cover story. The fact that bomb detection teams are headed out there from the space wing, the 21st Space Wing, sort of makes me think it's not a bad battery.
You would think that they wouldn't go to that much trouble if it were.
Yeah. We are hearing lots of things that make that story suspect. For instance, FEMA, as well as, I know you know the name, Janet Napolitano, who is the director of Homeland Insecurity, announced that threats inside the United States, the threat level inside the United States, is as high as it's ever been. Now, this comes on the heels of her saying, when she was under criticism about the border, that the border between Mexico and Arizona is as secure as it's ever been.
Now, that's laughable.
Well, I think both statements are true. It is as secure as it has ever been, which is non-existent security.
That's
so, and it's as secure as it's ever been. And as a result, threats inside the United States are as high as they have ever been. We're on a very high threat level alert in the United States, according to her. And then we have this thing at NORAD. That's pretty interesting. You know, a lot of people have been saying that they think that there is going to be a sort of mass revelation of the ETs. You know, lots of UFO activity and fleets of them showing up and so forth. I think it was January the 31st over Saratoga, New York. Big fleet of UFOs. Then we got this thing at NORAD. So your idea may be correct. You think maybe a UFO landed out there, or maybe they got information one was coming in?
I don't know if that would be the case or not. I don't think that the UFO, the people that are in the UFO, the ETs, I don't think they would be so overt as just to land a UFO down there. They might land something down there that isn't occupied, that isn't manned. And knowing the technology they have, they wouldn't even need to land something. You just pop in and just be there suddenly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that I've been watching lately, Kevin, has been going on in Oregon and Utah, which is just right across the mountain range from NORAD.
Mm-hmm.
You remember here a while back, and I don't remember the details as clearly as I need to in order to relate this accurately, but you remember there was a UFO, a large one, that was seen over in the Middle East. It was over a body of water, and it had been videotaped. And I don't remember where it was at. Turkey, perhaps?
Oh, yeah. Dr. Roger Lear was there when that was videotaped.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, in the past week in Oregon and Utah, there have been sightings of the same kind of craft, a large triangular-shaped craft from what the photos look like to me, and not just one, but several at a time. The reports I have here are like the 6th, which would have been 4 days ago.
Mm-hmm.
This would have been a formation of four of them that was over the Box Elder County, Utah. There's others here. There's one on the 9th, and there's some that are in Oregon as well, and I don't see a date on these specifically, but they were all within the same, well, this one's February 10th over Oregon. Here we go. Four objects. Looks just almost identical to what you had seen in that video from Dr. Roger Lear. Maybe not as big, but these are flying around in formation over that part of the country, Utah, Oregon, Colorado, and there's all kinds of sightings in Colorado. And, of course, NORAD is responsible for, you know, keeping track of what's in the air. I can't see how they could have missed this. These things are quite large. They're moving slowly, and then they take off just incredibly fast, staying in formation. And it's happening right now. It's within the past week. There's been sightings all over the place.
All right, Jerry, we have to step away for a break. And we'll talk about those UFO sightings in Utah on the other side of this break. I watched some video where some pretty interesting things were going on, nighttime video of these UFOs over Utah. We'll get there when we get back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and tonight it's two hosts. We have myself, that would be Kevin Smith, and we have the very famous Jerry Wills. Jerry?
Hello, everyone.
I'm sorry?
I said hello, everyone.
Okay, we were talking about these UFOs in Utah. I saw some nighttime video of these things, and they were just, all you could see was red lights, and the person that did the video is someone who has been involved in the manufacture of military flares, and said, I don't know what that is, but it's not flares. Those are not, we don't have flares that can do any of the stuff they're doing. But every once in a while, out of one of these red lights would drop like a white orb that would just stream to the ground. Did you see that video?
No, I haven't seen that one. But seen something similar to that in South America and Peru. A lot of UFO sightings there, and we've seen quite a few, and I've seen that kind of thing happen.
What do you think it is?
Well, I don't know for sure. The one big event that happened down there for us was a very large craft came over the Andes, and ahead of it, there were these orangish orbs that were taking position all the way around the valley. And when they were in position, then this larger craft came in and just sat there, you know, just on the slope, above the slope of the mountain. And then there was a light that came out of the bottom of it and went straight down. We tried to get to it. We got over there, didn't see anything was there. So I'm not sure what it was that happened.
Well, Jerry, interesting things have, you know, we're talking about strange things happening.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting things have just happened with the broadcast on video. It just locked up. So those who are listening via radio are just listening on their computers this evening. Certainly, you haven't missed a beat, but the folks who are trying to watch us on the TV channel lost a signal. Anyway, we're back. And like I say, weird stuff happening all over the world, even right here at the Kevin Smith Show studio. So we're back.
Maybe I shouldn't have mentioned the sighting in South America. Maybe they pushed the stop button on us.
I don't know what the deal was. It just locked up. Anyway, into this mix, Jerry, we have to throw a couple of more things, and then I'll open up the telephone lines and we'll let our audience join us. There are a couple of people out there who are predicting that we are going to have a magnetic pole shift on March the 15th. And I've watched the videos about this. I've read the various comments posted on various blogs and forums about this. I don't see any credible evidence of it, but it is a very hot topic all over the UFO world right now. People are talking about this pole shift. It's a magnetic pole shift, not the actual geographical axis of the Earth flipping over. That's not it. But a magnetic pole shift that's supposed to happen on March the 15th. Have you heard anything at all about that?
No, I haven't heard anything about it at all, and I'm wondering how they arrived at that date.
The basis of it is an incoming, either it's a planet or it's a comet. One of the people that is saying that this is going to happen says that NASA's calling this a comet, but it's not. It's actually a planet. But it is a comet with a name something like Elnin, E-L-N-I-N, or Elnin. And they say that this is going to pass close enough to Earth to disturb our magnetic field enough to cause this pole shift. And it is due to happen on March the 15th.
Well, I don't know that I buy into that specifically, because if something came in that had that kind of influence, it wouldn't just disturb the magnetic field. It would cause a lot more serious problem, just the magnetic field aberration.
Well, maybe. I mean, it is possible, I would think, for it to pass close enough. See, our magnetic field... Now, I've already said I don't see any credible evidence that this is true, and now I'm arguing for it. But I'm just saying a possibility. You know me. I can get on either side of an issue if necessary. But look, I think if see our magnetic field has been getting weaker and weaker, and it's been happening faster and faster. And if our magnetic field is weak enough at this point, and if it's already teetering on the edge of a pole shift, something like that would not have to pass real close to us, I would think, to create enough disturbance to just go ahead and tip this thing over the edge in terms of a magnetic pole shift. I don't think it would have to pass close enough to, you know, affect like tidal waves and earthquakes and super volcanoes. I think it could just probably, if we were already teetering on the edge of a magnetic pole shift, which a lot of people say we are, it might be enough just to kick it over the edge.
I don't buy it.
I don't either. I'm going to give the same answer to this that I gave and have given many times to December the 21st, 2012, and that is on December the 22nd, I'm going Christmas shopping. So on March the 16th, I expect I will just have a normal day like I always do. But we'll see. We'll see. I could be wrong, and if I am, we will all know it by March the 16th. And if I'm wrong and we are able to still have a show on March the 16th, we will. Here's another thing I know you probably have heard about, and that would be that Secretary of State Hillary Clinton called to Washington all of the ambassadors of the United States from all over the world.
Yeah, I'd heard about that.
And the media were not allowed to attend their meetings. Officials said that the meetings will include, and I guess these meetings are going on right now, will include discussions of foreign policy priorities for 2011. As well as an assessment of the fallout from the release of secret diplomatic cables by WikiLeaks. It says Clinton will meet individually with diplomats working in unstable countries. I wonder what countries would not be on the list of unstable.
Yeah, it makes you wonder.
I think virtually every country on this planet should be on the list of unstable, but I guess that would be probably the definition of unstable in this would be as compared to, say, the United States or the UK or Germany, something like that. Comparing to that, I guess that's how they're calling them unstable. This has never happened before in the history of the United States, Jerry.
Yeah, I was thinking that to be the case, and you know, I was going to ask you what do you think would precipitate that kind of action? If what we have is a cover story, what real story would cause this to occur?
Well, it could be a number of things, Jerry. I will mention some that it could be. But let me tell you why I think they had this meeting. Whatever is the real story is so big, they cannot afford to allow it to show up in any cables because it may show up on WikiLeaks.
Yeah.
It's so big. Whatever it is so big and so important that they all have to know about it. But they cannot afford for any of that information to be in any cables. So it could be a number of things. Although you and I have both said we don't think it's that this March the 15th magnetic pole shift holds any weight. We've already both of us said that. Nevertheless, we could be wrong, and maybe the government knows that's correct, and maybe this is getting everybody here and getting them ready for continuation of government.
Well, it could also be that the cover story of it being a comet or a planet
could be that
actually not correct at all, that it could be something occupied and piloted.
Could be. It could be. It could be, as a result, you know, there's this report that came out of the Middle East that Saudi Arabia has 40% less oil than they had been telling everybody. So we may be just about to hit the bottom of the barrel on that oil. Maybe that's it. And look,
well,
folks,
have you taken a look at the gas prices lately? The gas prices are insane.
You know, that doesn't affect me, Jerry. I drive tennis shoes.
Yeah, well, they're very economical.
Tennis shoes are very economical. I drive tennis shoes.
This afternoon, we were coming back from getting some things at the store, and the price for gas was like $3.15 a gallon.
I don't think that I'm too far out of line by saying that I think you're going to see $5 gasoline soon.
Well, that's really going to put a crimp on whether we get a motorhome or not.
Yeah, I would say so. That's going to put a crimp on absolutely everything and could collapse the economies of all of the so-called developed countries. It literally could collapse the United States of America economically. And maybe that's part of why all of the ambassadors from around the world have been called back to the United States for these meetings. Could be that. It could be, you know, that a lot of these predictions about December the 21st, 2012 are, it's possible they're valid. I don't think so, but it's possible they are.
I was going to say, if you take a look at the recent UFO sightings, you know, the huge...
Jerry, we got to step away for a break. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Back to the Kevin Smith Show, and my guest, who is the associate host of this show, Jerry Wills. Jerry, we went away for break, and you were just starting to talk about the big UFO sightings.
Yeah, that's right. Hello, everyone. Thanks for tuning in tonight. The point I was going to make is that, you know, with the sightings over there, I think it was Turkey with Dr. Lear, these things I'm seeing here, the UFOs in Oregon, Utah. And then we have the Temple of the Mount in Israel, right? And, you know, these things are happening.
Mm-hmm.
There are photos, there's evidence it's happening. And maybe the reason why these ambassadors have been called back is because actually there's something about to take place that's going to be pretty shocking for the world.
Well, it could be. You know, that's very possible. You know, I did a show the other night on the UFO sighting over the Temple Mount, or some people say over the Dome of the Rock. It's exactly the same geographical location. the Dome of the Rock is sitting on the Temple Mount. It's exactly the same place. One of the videos that was released and that it's out there on YouTube has been shown to be a fake. And Jerry, this has been, it's been very interesting to watch this. It's been a textbook case that proves what I say about how the controllers of the secrets use the baby with the bathwater method to discredit real events. So they release one hoaxed video, then they make sure that it gets proven to be a hoax, and everyone tosses the whole thing out as if it's a hoax.
Right.
Never mind the fact that there were three other videos from three other witnesses that have not been shown to be hoaxes, but have been shown to be legit. But you put one video out there that proves to be a hoax, and people toss the baby out with the bathwater.
Kevin, which one of these was the hoax? There
were you know, I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was the third one. I'm not sure. But you can go on several of the forums out there and read the analysis and so forth. And I concur. I think that one was a hoax based on what was written. You know, I would have to say, well, okay, if it's that way, it's a hoax. But, you know, people toss the baby out with the bathwater, and that amazes me. You know, that's like saying, oh, well, okay, let's see, we found one bar of fake gold in Fort Knox, so let's just throw the whole lot out.
Yeah, well, it's the same kind of rationale, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same.
The thing that really astonishes me about that video, and I think my favorite of all of them is number four. And number four certainly is very clear, and you can hear people talking in the background and so forth. It seems to be a very real video to me. When I was talking with a friend of mine, I guess I can mention her name. It's Linda Moulton-Powell. This was a couple of years ago. She was relating to me that she had this conversation with a general, and the general had told her that one of the things that the higher echelons are very concerned about is a character called Yahweh. And I was pretty surprised to hear that. But as it turns out, Yahweh was here, well, quite a while back, I guess, several thousands of years ago. And they said that Yahweh is a mean SOB, and they're just really worried that he's going to come back. Well, the place he would come back to would be, in my opinion anyway, I think it would be the Temple Mount. And when I saw that video, it was shocking.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, everything is based on perspectives. I would say that if... now, was this an American general?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Did she tell you which general?
You know, she did at the time, but I don't remember. I don't remember who it was, what branch of service he was in.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Yahweh is the name. It is the pronunciation of an acronym. That shows up in Hebrew scriptures as. It's actually a substitute for the name of God. Okay? And so when you say Yahweh to Hebrews and to Christians, that's the name of God. Now, it depends on your perspective as to whether he's a mean God or not. And I'm not getting on either side of that debate, but, you know, if you believe that Yahweh is God and you believe that he is holy and that his actions when he comes back here will be for the purpose of purifying the earth and getting rid of the crime and corruption and so forth, then you think he's a good guy. If you hold a different value system than that and you look at the same character, the same person, Yahweh, you might think, oh man, this guy is mean, he's tough. And I would say this, if the Bible is true, if it's true, then we already know what Yahweh is both capable of and willing to do. The first genocide ever recorded was planetary, if the Bible is true. And that would have been the flood, to kill everything, kill everybody except one family. Now, if that story is true, then yeah, he's quite a tough character, and things he doesn't like, he's both capable and has proven himself willing to deal rather severely with it.
Well, the part of what was said is that Yahweh, in their perspective, I suppose, was considered himself the owner of this world and everything on it.
That would be consistent with what the Hebrew texts say, yeah.
But it's not a deity or a holy being. It's actually a visitor from another place.
Well, that would be a departure from the Hebrew texts. The Hebrew texts picture him as being the God. Which, by the way, Yahweh means the boss God.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't mean he is the only one that exists in Hebrew scripture, in Hebrew text itself, in the words of the Hebrew text itself. There is no indication that he is the only God. He's the boss God. And in fact, in Hebrew text, you have him addressing an assembly of gods in the Bible. So unless he talks to himself, if the Hebrew text is true, then there are more than one, and he is the boss.
Yeah, it's frightening however you slice it and dice it. I mean, if you're looking at a boss god, that seems to me to be kind of a corporate stance to take.
So a general said to Linda Moulton Howe, he's coming back and he's ticked off.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't know what they can do because there's nothing they could do to stop him.
Interesting. Because in the new section of that bunch of script called the New Testament, it says all the armies of the earth gather to wage war against him. So this should be interesting. If this thing is true, we're in for a rocky ride.
Yeah, I'd say so. Because like you say, the last time he got ticked off at this planet, there weren't many people left over. I don't particularly believe that Noah was the only survivor of that, because you have the flood story in several parts of the world, and you know it has its own iterations, you know, depending on what part of the world you're in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think the fact that the story of that flood is rather universally around the world, the fact of the flood, I guess you could say, is pretty well established. I would say it probably really happened. The details are a little different in each of those stories. We have to step away for a break. When we come back, we'll open the phone lines for you folks. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is actually our associate host, Jerry Wills. And it's a two-host show tonight. We are just kicking around some of these major big things happening around the world and sort of talking about how they may kind of be related. Big changes are happening. They're not isolated. The world you wake up in tomorrow is not the world you will go to sleep in tonight. And that's been happening with greater frequency and greater intensity, it seems, over the past few months. I want to open up the telephone lines and allow our audience to jump in here and participate in the show with us. Folks, the telephone numbers are these. If you have a question or a comment about what we're talking about here tonight, the telephone number is 623-444-5889. Toll-free in the USA and Canada, if you need it, is 888-223-4599. And, of course, we have our flash message option open. You can go to my website. If you're not in the USA and if you're not in Canada, then you may use the flash message option at kevinsmithshow.com. You'll see the link. It says flash message. All right, and by the way, we do have new listeners every night, and sometimes folks don't know how this works. You get one shot on the air, okay? So when you call in, make your comment, ask your question, and then that's it for tonight, okay? You get to be on the air one time per show. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Mike from Kentucky.
Hello, Mike.
Hello,
hey,
Mike.
And hey, Jerry. Jerry, Kevin seems to think just because he uses tennis shoes to walk around, he's not going to get away from the high price of fuel oil. But it takes oil to make tennis shoes, Kevin.
Well, I got news for you, Mike. I bought a pair of tennis shoes. And listen up. I bought a pair of tennis shoes in 19... I'm sorry, in 2004, in 2004. I wore those tennis shoes until 2010. I bought another pair of tennis shoes in 2010. I expect I will not feel the price of oil on tennis shoes for another 5 to 6 years. You feel the price of oil in everything. But $5 a gallon to put it in my tank ain't happening.
The value of stuff is going down constantly nowadays.
The what?
The quality of the product is going down and down, down constantly nowadays. So you'll need another pair of shoes by the end of the month.
Maybe not. And I certainly hope not, because I can't afford any, so then I'll just be barefooted.
But you see, when you're from Kentucky,
another thing, too, here, real quick, so be serious for a moment. What you were talking about just before the end of the break there is about the armies of the world are supposed to come against the big gods, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, here's the thing about it. Smart guys stay home. You and I are going to stay home. Jerry's going to stay home. We're not going to go over to Megiddo and get involved in all that mess. So he'll take care of all that mess for us, and we'll be home free.
Okay. All right. Mike, thanks for the call. Jerry, you were saying something, and we didn't hear you. Mike was talking on top of you. He couldn't hear you. So what were you saying?
I was just saying, being from Kentucky, you know, you don't have to worry about shoes.
That's not fair. That's like saying, being from Phoenix, Arizona, you don't have to worry about clothes. It's too hot to wear them.
Boy, ain't that the truth.
Yeah. Okay, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, guys, this is Ryan up in Puget Sound.
Yeah, Ryan.
Hello, Ryan.
Jerry, I'm hoping you're able to make your way up here this summer or sometime on your tour. And I heard you guys talking earlier about Utah. Did you guys bring up Dugway by any chance?
No.
The Dugway Proving Ground?
No, we didn't.
Oh, well, right around the time of that, you remember that video you were talking about, Kevin, where there were some red lights seen in the sky that were kind of...
Yep.
That the Army guy said that they definitely weren't flares.
Yep.
That just happened right after the day after they announced that Dugway Proving Grounds was being on lockdown because they had missing nerve gas.
Yeah.
And then he never heard anything about the nerve gas thing. They said, and then after that, nobody ever really followed up on it.
Mm-hmm.
Just curious to me that it happened on the same day. And then, I think it was the day before that, and I'm wondering if there's anybody in Victoria, B.C., Vancouver, that saw this. There was a massive glowing UFO or orb or something that came out of the clouds. This guy was on his back deck. I worked for an online news company, and he videotaped this thing coming down, descending out of the clouds, moving behind the trees, and he got this real up-close video of it. And it sort of kind of it flew around over Vancouver, Victoria, at night for several minutes, and then it hovered in the clouds there, and then it moved around a little bit. I mean, it was. This video is amazing. You'd have to look it up. But if there's anybody in Vancouver that knows anything about this, it'd be cool to have them call in and see if they saw that UFO.
Yeah,
and then this was all.
All right, go ahead, Jerry.
No, I was just saying I saw that video online. It was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
So, are you there?
We're listening.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having audio problems. So, anyways, yeah, there's been a lot of interesting things going on. But Jerry, during your contacts, did they ever mention anything about whether there would be one day where, they would? One day where there would be, like sort of like a mass landing. I'm sure everybody asked you this already, but are they ever going to just come in and just land and say, here we are?
No, what I was told is that wasn't going to happen. Not from that group I was in touch with, anyway. They didn't want that kind of experience for the people of this world. They said that it was a possibility that it would happen, but it wouldn't be them. And if it did happen, be very suspicious of whatever's being said and whatever's being offered, because there are no good motivations involved with that. Let me ask you a question, Ryan. Where are you calling from?
Puget Sound, up in Washington State.
Okay. Well, I might be getting up in that area. Alfred Weber and his wife, Jerry, have invited me to come up there within the next few months. So get on the newsletter, subscribe to our newsletter, and you'll know when I'm going to be in your area.
Yeah, I'd like to meet you when you do, and maybe you can stop by Mount Adams as well. I'll free up the lines, but do you think that the reason that they said that would never happen is because we need to develop, our planet needs to develop into better, more spiritual people before we're ready to get into the universe? Is that kind of what I'm thinking here?
Well, it isn't so much to be in a point of development to a more spiritual kind of people. It's simply that if they show up and say, here we are and here's what we can do, which is basically what it's going to come down to, it would be like a dog and pony show. And there wouldn't be any gain for the people of this world to be exposed to a much greater, more powerful essence. It would only serve to show how weak the people of this planet are and how much they need to grow. It would immediately put everyone into a place to where they would either be looking at these people as gods, or they'd be looking to them to save them. And that's not what they're interested to do. They want to see the people of this world save themselves.
All right, Ryan, thank you so much for the call. Jerry, we get calls where people ask, why don't the aliens come help us? Why don't they, are they ever going to step in and rescue us? And the answer to that, why don't they come just rescue us from ourselves. The answer to that is then why haven't we stepped into Egypt and rescued the Egyptians from Egyptians? It doesn't make sense to do it. It's their problem. They'll work it out. And I think that's exactly how the extraterrestrials look at us. It's our problem. We'll work it out.
Well, right, and take a look at how it turned out with us going to Afghanistan or Iran. You know, you've got basically a very strong force going up against a bunch of people who are ill-equipped to deal with that. It ends up being more of a massacre than it does being a lot of help, because irregardless of what their motives might truly be and what they might actually be offering as help, there's going to be somebody who's going to see it as a threat. They're going to want to fight against it and fight against anyone who would be trying to take their side. And
yep.
It would just cause mass confusion and a lot of problems. They don't want that.
To the telephone, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. Hi, Jerry. This is Leslie, and I'm calling from Oregon.
Hello, Leslie.
Hey,
Leslie. I was wondering, you said that there are some sightings in Oregon. Do you know where in Oregon that was at?
Well, it was on the coast. I'll tell you, you can go to this website and take a look at the pictures for yourself. I'm sure everyone would like to know about them. It's real simple. It's two words, Utah, U-T-A-H, UtahUFO.com. And you can see the pictures there for yourself and make an assessment, see what you think.
Well, thanks. And this may have nothing to do with it, but I'm just going to throw it out there. Myself, I live at kind of the foothills of the Coast Range, and this past week, roughly around the same time, and my sister and I also, we both noticed there was a military helicopter, a couple times during the day, going from north to south, and it looked kind of like one of those Nighthawks, I think you call it. And, you know, and that's, I figured, you know, it could just be, I don't know, the National Guards or something. But a couple nights ago, though, it was really, really loud, and it was a helicopter, and I went out the front yard because the windows were, you know, shaking. It was that loud, and a few other neighbors came out, and the gentleman who lives right next to me, he's, retired career military, I think that's what you call it. You know, that's what he did, Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
And he was even surprised because, you know, it's nighttime, and, I mean, it was so loud. I mean, louder than any Chinooks, you know. And if you've been, you know, up close to Chinooks, you know, they're pretty loud. But, and I guess he was saying that it was kind of odd because, for it being so low down, he said that it should have some more lights or something. I mean, he would know about that. But, and then I hear about the sightings. And again, it may have nothing to do with it, but just wanted to throw it out there because, you know, for someone who's retired Air Force and that was his career, he thought it was really bizarre. But yeah, so.
Wow.
Wow, pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right, Leslie, thanks for the call.
Okay, thanks. Bye bye.
Bye. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. Or if you need to call me in the USA or Canada, if you need to call me toll free, you can do so at 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin.
Yes. You're on the air. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Oh, John from Conroe, Texas.
Hello, John.
Hi, John.
Nice to talk to you again. I have one comment and then a question for Jerry.
All right.
The comment was, when I saw that Dome of the Rock, or a Dome of the Rock video the first time, it just sent goosebumps all over my body. And my thought at the first viewing was that Yahweh had returned. Interesting how Yahweh has come up in the conversation tonight. That was the comment.
Okay.
The question is for Jerry, and it doesn't relate to that topic, but rather of the Stargate in either Peru or Bolivia in the highlands. And there was a three-tone sequence that he used to open the gate.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, what was that tonal sequence? Because I am a musician also, and I'm curious. And is it a harmonic? Is it a chord? How does it work?
Well, I can't really tell you what the tones are because I made a promise to the guy that gave it to me that I would only give it to people that I knew. And so far, there's only been about four or five of those people that I've given it to.
Okay.
So I really can't relate it. But I can tell you that it is a tone, a harmonic of that tone, and then a discordant. And it seems that the discordant tone, it's almost like playing... well, now I can't think about my music. But it's bebop, ick, like that. It's just, it's like this totally discordant thing, but that seems to be the thing that triggers it.
Can it be mechanically reproduced?
I tried to do it with speakers one time, and it didn't do anything. So, apparently, you know... The speakers I had weren't that big, but I think that the way that it works is that there's this quality of sound that's in the human voice that isn't easily reproducible with at least the speakers that I had. And I've seen women try to do it, and women don't seem to get the tone low enough in order to cause the trigger to take place. But I have seen children playing around it, and their high, squeaky voices, something about that seems to turn it on as well. And as a result of that, the people there don't like their children around this thing.
That's interesting. Well, thank you. And a very interesting show. And, Jerry, sometime I'd like to go on an expedition with you down there.
Well, we're going to be going in July, so we're going to the doorway. And to Mark Awasi. So if you're interested, you know, get a hold of me after the show, and I'll try to get you some details so you can figure out if you want to come along or not.
I'll do that. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889 is the main number here, and you can call that from anywhere on planet Earth. If you need to call me toll-free, you can do so. If you don't need to call me toll-free, please don't use the toll-free number, but if you need to, feel free to do so. It works in the USA and Canada, and it is 888-223-4599. For those who live outside of the USA and Canada, I don't have a toll-free number for them, and that's why we have the flash message feature on the website. And we invite you, if you're outside the USA and outside of Canada, we invite you to avail yourself of that link on the website that says Flash Message. And the website is kevinsmithshow.com. Jerry, with all this weird stuff happening, really weird stuff happening all around the world, do you know of any weird things happening around that doorway?
Well, you know, I haven't been down to the doorway since 2008. I think it was October when I was down there with the team. We went back down there again, but we didn't go to the doorway, but part of the team broke off and went to conduct some more research to the doorway. And the strange things that was happening there is that there was some kind of shadowy person, and I can't really describe what it was because I didn't see it. But they said that there was something that was there that was moving around, had come through the doorway and was moving around. The other thing that happened that I can only tell you about is I don't have the video to show you, and I've been asked not to show it if I had it. But one of the researchers set his camera up and caught a UFO flying right over the thing. And it was pretty clear.
All right. back to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Yeah, Kevin and Jerry, this is Rusty from Michigan.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello, Rusty.
Hello. Hi. You guys mentioned this thing that's supposed to happen in March. And Kevin, a while ago, this question is for both of you, but a while ago you did a show on what would it take for someone basically to recognize when disclosure happened. So I guess my question would be for both of you, what would have to happen for both of you to say the event coming up is going to be a valid event? Other than after it happened, of course. I mean, is there something that someone could say or a group of people could say that would make you think that actually something was going to happen on that date?
No.
Well, I could say yes. And the only reason I would say that is because of experiences I had down in Peru back in the early to mid-90s when I was having contact with this fellow that I only knew as, he said his name was Rich. That's all I knew him by. There was an entourage of these folks. They said they were from the Pleiades. I don't know if they were or not, but that's what he said. They were in a UFO. And he could turn himself into a little blue ball of light and go flying off into the, you know, distance. So I'm inclined to think that there was something peculiar and otherworldly about him. Part of the system that he and I had in place was that he would tell me things that were going to happen, and that would validate the other information that he would tell me. And it was kind of a checks and balances system that we had worked out. If he were to tell me that this was going to happen, then I would put it in an email and send it out to everyone, because I'd have no doubt that it was true. But I haven't seen Rich in quite a while. And unless something like that were to occur, then I wouldn't believe that it's a valid event.
In my case, the best you would get out of me is, we'll see.
Okay, so Kevin, for you, there's nothing that would trigger in your mind that would kind of, I use the word prediction, I don't want to get religious, but that would be a prediction that a pole shift is going to happen, maybe not on a certain date, but within the foreseeable 6 months or something.
If somebody tells me that the Earth is going to undergo a pole shift, that's an absolute certainty because it's done it many times in the past. If they give me a date, or even sort of a bracket of dates, 6 months from now, we're going to have a pole shift. My answer is, well, we'll see.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be my answer as well, unless I was told it by Rich. That's the only caveat.
Well, okay, and one more thing. Isn't this thing happening in March, isn't that somehow connected to the in a way?
Okay, tell you what, Rusty, hang on. We come back from break, I'll let you ask that question again. We got to step away right now, and we'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. My guest this evening is my associate host, Jerry Wills, who does a magnificent job hosting this show when I am absent, and we're delighted to have him back with us this evening. And on the line with us, Jerry, we still have Rusty from Michigan. So, Rusty, you were asking a question and the break took over, so ask it again.
Yeah, it was talking about this thing in March, and you recently had a gentleman, I believe Michael Horn or something like that, talking about the Billy Meyer case.
Yeah.
And he used a different name for this planet coming in than you used at the beginning of the show. But do you think there's any correlation between the two?
No. The one he's talking about is Apophis, and the one that the videos related to a magnetic pole shift in March talk about a comet named Elnin, E-L-N-I-N, I believe is how it's spelled. I could be wrong about that, but I think that's how they spelled it.
Okay.
So, no, they're not the same.
Huh. It just seems, because I think they was talking about Myers is supposed to happen this year too, isn't it?
I don't know. If it's Apophis could possibly strike the Earth in 2036. So I don't believe Apophis is coming this year, and that's the one related to the Meyer case.
Right. So
you know, this other one is one that I haven't seen any talk about except in these two videos that I found on YouTube.
Well, one thing about all these prophecies, it really does us as human beings no good to say that's it after it happens.
There's nothing we can do about it either way. Let's say that this Elnin is coming, and they're not saying it's going to hit the Earth, but let's say it does. There's nothing you can do about it. If it causes a magnetic pole reversal, then it just does. There's nothing you can do about it. So, you know, I don't let myself get worried or keyed up about any of this stuff. Whatever is going to happen is just going to happen. And the key is for us to not have our heads in the sand and to have at least some kind of readiness to survive any kind of possible disaster. Look, if a comet never hits the Earth in your lifetime, there certainly could be other types of disasters. You can have tornadoes, you can have earthquakes. Some places around the world could be subject to tsunamis. You can have flooding. You can have snowstorms that just won't quit. There's all kinds of disasters that we're going to have, and there's no doubt about it. We are going to have them. And so the key is just to have some level of readiness so that you can survive it. And then just go on and live and don't worry about it. You know, whatever is, just is. That's, I guess I can now say, thus saith the Kevin. that's my view of it.
Sound advice, so.
Yeah, that's just my view of it. I don't let any of this stuff give me ulcers.
No, I don't either. I think it's too easy to buy into the fear and apprehension. It'd be a lot better to avoid that.
All right, Rusty, I want to thank you for the call, man. 623-444-5889. We have Jade from Peru who has given us a flash message. I almost said we have Jade from Peru who has flashed us. It's a flash message. And it says, just wanted to say hello to my friend Jerry and let him know that I appreciate his work. Nice show, Kevin and Jerry. Okay, Jade, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you, Jade. Jade's a really nice fellow. He's a good friend of ours down in Lima.
All right, back to the telephone. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show, and you left us. Sorry about that. 623-444-5889 or toll-free 888-223-4599. Look, folks, there is no question but what there are great calamities coming. I've lived now 57 years, and I've seen a number of great calamities that have swept across the United States and other parts of the world, many of them. Each year for 57 years. No question, great calamities are coming to various places around the globe. Maybe it's coming to your neighborhood. Maybe not. But there's nothing you can do about it except to be ready to survive. That's all you can do. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin and Jerry. It's John from Vancouver Island.
Hello, John.
Hello, John.
Hi. Hi, Jerry. One thing about planets that may or may not hit the Earth. I happen to think that, you know, if there were enough people on the planet that didn't really want to be hit by some other object from space, I really believe that a collective intent to not manifest that could be possible.
What do you think, Jerry?
Well, I completely agree, and this is something that I was talking about 20 years ago that folks weren't really keying in on. I've said it a few times since. Let's imagine for a second that you can take a little bit of time and learn how to bend a spoon. Simple thing, you know, if you can get to the point where you actually get the spoon to bend, then you've achieved a level of confidence and ability. Now, what if you had 1,000 people that could bend a spoon and they decided to pool their energy and to do something else, like push a comet or a planetoid out of the way or make it rain where rain was desperately needed? Human potential is unlimited. The only limit is the imagination. But the other limit, I suppose, would be the willingness to let go of ego and let go of doubt, embrace certainty, and try to do something collectively. That's how we can become a power of manifestation on this planet. It isn't through force, it's through intention. So I agree with you.
Well, that's fantastic. And is that from your own human experience or experiences from elsewhere that would make you say that?
A little bit of both. People do things differently in other worlds, John.
I'm trying to imagine.
Now, this can be a very wonderful place. It can be full of promise and hope and good and beauty. But it has to be something that's decided upon. And it has to be decided upon by people who are willing to take one step forward into recognizing their abilities and using those abilities to do something good and not do it out of anger or fear. Neither of those are going to serve the betterment of this world.
Well, you know, if there's something in the audience is listening to Kevin Smith, if somehow that could come together to form a particular intention, that would be an interesting experiment to try and execute.
Yeah, I think it would be pretty interesting as well. And I've been playing around with an idea of doing a special Saturday feature for the Kevin Smith Show to explore this as a possibility, to see if we can get all the listeners, all the people who are watching and listening worldwide, to participate in an experiment like this, just to see what would happen.
Well, if there was a way to keep track of it so that the data could be useful, like to make it really scientific and set it up, you'd have a whole audience working in an experiment involving intention. And then if you could figure out a way to keep track of that, that'd be really interesting.
Well, let's put it to the test and see what happens. I'll talk to Kevin after the show and see if we can put something together and do that.
I'm game. We can do that. But I'll tell you something, John, and you know this. Let's say that let's say it's not going to be in 2036. Let's say Apophis is on its way or some other comet. It wouldn't matter. And they're predicting that it is going to strike Earth. The scientists are saying it's on a trajectory. We've got about a 80% chance it's going to hit the Earth. Okay, so then we do this thing, and it works. It pushes it out of the way. You know the way the scientists are going to talk about it. They're going to say, well, it ran into a big patch of dark matter that changed its course. You know. So, you know, for me, scientific proof of something paranormal is really unnecessary. Because, you know, I guess what I'm saying is it would be nice if we could have it, but we know what they'll do with it. We know they'll spin it in a way that says, okay, well, it wasn't this metaphysical stuff. It wasn't this paranormal stuff. It just ran into some dark matter and it pushed it out of the way. So we know that's they're going to spin it
well,
that way.
Kevin, I'm just trying to figure out a way to have some collective fun. And I'm
for it. I think it'll be a good thing.
I'm concerned about what scientists might say.
Mm-hmm.
But within this community, like if we decided to try an experiment and all the listening audience got involved and decided the way to say whether or not it worked, it would just be your audience and you having fun, and that's all I'm trying to think of.
I'm for it, and I think it would be fun. I think it'd be very interesting. So I'm for it, and you know, I'll get with Jerry about it, and we'll get it set up, and then we'll announce when we're going to do it, and he'll run the show and do it, and that'll be a good thing. John, I want to thank you for the call, man. Well, Jerry.
Yes, sir.
Looks like you're about to be in the comet moving business.
Yep, comet movers.
Yeah. You know, your mate could actually start you a little company like the Ghostbusters did.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, if you got a comet that you want moved, you call on us. Who are you going to call? Comet Movers. Yeah.
I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm willing to do that. All you need to do is, you know, we just decide on a date and you're good to go. You know, we'll just promote it and you can do that show. Back to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Vancouver Island in Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hello. Hello, Haya. Jerry. Yeah. I was just listening to John. I agree with him. Why don't we start getting everybody together, and how about we put out No More War, Peace, right around the world, and clean up the pollution and bring our beautiful planet back into its pristine natural environment like it should be.
Yeah,
I'm pretty sure if we get the ball rolling, there'd be a lot of people interested.
Well, we'll get the ball rolling.
I think it'd be a good idea. And I'm so glad that you're going, Jerry, that you're going to meet Jerry and Alfred. You know, they have a home in Vancouver. You know that, eh?
Yeah, they've invited me to come.
Okay, Jerry and Haya, if you will, just hang on. We have a break taking over, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, ladies and gentlemen. My guest this evening is actually the associate host of this show, Jerry Wills. And on the line with Jerry and moi is Haya from Vancouver Island.
Victoria
Island. Okay, so you were speaking with Jerry and the break took over. I wanted you to have the opportunity to finish your thought.
Okay, my finished thought was I'm hoping that Jerry will go to the ranch this year, to James Gilliland. It is a hot spot, no two ways about it. I've been there enough times and had personal experiences myself. There was one question I want to ask you both. When you say that Hillary Clinton kind of recalled all the American diplomats around the world, are they from the embassies or not?
Yes, they are the ambassadors. All the ambassadors, all U.S. ambassadors were recalled.
I think I understand what's happening. I have traveled a lot over the years, and I've met a lot of Americans who've gone to the different embassies around the world and found that the embassies are quite useless. I've had a lot of Americans who've gone to the Canadian embassy if they needed help, or Australian embassy or others, but Americans really have not supported the Americans at all.
Well,
and I noticed this last time with William Henry, they didn't even help him at all. They were pretty useless.
Jerry, you were saying?
I can identify with that. When I was living in Peru, there were some riots going on in Iquitos, and the U.S. Embassy didn't have a care whether we were in any danger or not. I didn't think we were, but everyone said we needed to stay indoors or get to a safe place. So the fellow who ran the British Embassy said that we should come there because the British Embassy would protect us.
Yeah, you're right, Jerry. I've had this story since I left Canada in 1967. I went over to the Middle East, and since then, all the people in the different countries that I've met, as we travel around, we meet people. Everybody that was American was totally peeved with their consulates all around the world, which makes me suspect about them and why they were there in the first place. I think they are probably black ops by the sounds of it.
As somebody who has sort of been in the dark underbelly of a lot of stuff overseas, let me tell you this. Every country that has an embassy anywhere, you can bet they've got some kind of black ops going on associated with that embassy. Every country, regardless of what they tell you, you can count on it. Now, my experience with U.S. embassies has been different. My experience has been they've been very helpful to me. I've been in about 30 countries. U.S. embassies have been very helpful to me. But I will tell you this. As international police, we were authorized by Congress to have certain privileges on U.S. military bases. For instance, for emergency medical attention. It had to be emergency, but emergency medical attention. We could get it at the U.S. base. APO, we would be able, that's the post office, we'd be able to mail letters home from there. And I can tell you that with one exception, every place where I've been and tried to have just minimal services at the U.S. base, we were refused. I tried at one point to buy a postage stamp at a U.S. base, and the MPs walked in and escorted me off the base. How about that? So in that regard, in order for us to mail something home, we had to go either to the Russian base or we had to go to the British base. They didn't care. We could buy postage stamps. And so if I sent something home, I sent a letter home, and it went out to the British base, it went to London, and then from London it got shipped over to the USA and delivered to who I wanted it to go to. But the American military bases would even show them the letters and the legislation from Congress, and they'd say, doesn't matter, they're not here, we are.
Nice.
And I will tell you this, when a riot broke out in Bosnia, August the 28th, 1997, and it broke out in Brčko, Bosnia, the base commander ordered his troops off of the streets, into the base, and locked down, and left the police out on the street, and we were unarmed in that mission. How does that strike you?
It's like a wet fish upside the head.
Well, thankfully, he handed out 13 medals. after the riot. He handed out 13 medals for whatever, I don't know. And look, the grunts, they just had to obey the orders. But they were not on the street. We evacuated 250 unarmed international police ourselves through the riot. And we did the evacuation, and he handed out 13 medals, the base commander. Thank God the Pentagon realized what was going on, and they replaced him with somebody that was an actual soldier.
So there is hope.
But, yeah, my experience with the embassies has been positive. I'm aware of and have heard of other people who have said that they had, you know, rotten service out of their U.S. embassy, but my experience has been very, very positive.
Well, they were always very stuffy with me in Lima. They wanted to know, who are you and why are you here? So I told them who I am, and I was there because I was an American citizen and I owned that place. So I suggested they get me a Coke and find me an ashtray.
Hmm.
They didn't take it too kindly, of course.
I guess not.
Then neither did I.
Well, let me tell you, when I was going to be shipped back home from East Timor, I apparently had I made a decision, and you're aware of what the decision was, and refused to go somewhere where they were wanting me to go because they wanted to. In that place, they were going to cut our salary, all of us, by about $35,000. And we don't get to live on a secure base. We have to live out in the community and pay for our own security. And there was not going to be enough money to do that. It was one of the most dangerous places on earth. And I said, nope, not going. So they decided to ship me back home. They canceled my final leave, which had been approved. And that final leave would have put me in Thailand to be present when my son was born. They canceled that and on his due date put me on an airplane and sent me back here. But I knew that was going to happen. So what I did is I made one final trip over to Thailand, went to the U.S. Embassy with my wife, and had a document that I had made up declaring that I am the father of this unborn baby. And I just made this document up. It said Declaration of Parentage. And I asked them to put the U.S. Consular official seal on it so that my son would be recognized as a U.S. citizen if he wants to be when he's 18. And they did it for me.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah. Well, look, we're out of time. Jerry, thanks for being with us. Stay on the phone with me for just a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, that's it. That's a wrap for this evening. Lots of weird stuff happening, and you're going to go to sleep tonight. When you wake up in the morning, it's going to be a different world. Big stuff happening all around the world, each and every day. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want to call me. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.